It's The Takeaway. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. As we get more data on COVID-19 cases and deaths, it's becoming increasingly clear that the virus is taking a disproportionate toll on Black communities across the U.S. The latest out of the city of Chicago is yet another reminder of these disparities. Black residents have accounted for roughly 60% of Chicago's coronavirus-related deaths, despite making up just 30% of the city's overall population. Joining me now to talk about those disparities and the city's response to the disease overall is Chicago's Mayor Lori Lightfoot. Mayor Lightfoot, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. My pleasure to be with you.
So far, Chicago has more than 12,500 confirmed cases of COVID-19 and at least 500 deaths reported. Health officials are saying you haven't quite yet reached that peak. Do you have any sense of when cases might start to go down?
You know, I think it's really difficult for us to predict a precise date. We're obviously making progress, as we've been saying now for a little over a week. We started out in this pandemic seeing cases doubling every 2 days, and now we're on a path where we're seeing doubling every 12 days. So that's definitely progress, but we still have a long way to go. Our modeling obviously has been evolving over time, as everyone's is, and what we are expecting is kind of a long plateau before we see a specific decrease in the number of cases. But progress is being made only because people are staying home. So the message that we're bringing to our residents is to stay the course. We have to remain diligent. People still have to stay home and avoid congregate settings.
As I mentioned at the top, the data out of Chicago shows that Black residents make up about 60% of the city's COVID-related deaths. What do you make of that disparity?
Well, first of all, it really is takes your breath away. It's hard to, on an emotional level, to process that gaping disparity.
Yeah.
But the reality is, it's not surprising because we've known for some time, and we've been talking about it and trying to mitigate it, that the underlying health conditions is really what's making the difference in the COVID disparity. And by that, I mean, unfortunately, many people in the Black community, particularly older Black Chicago, have diabetes, heart disease, upper respiratory problems at a rate that is very, very different and higher than any other demographic across the city. And given that disparity and how this disease just ravages people with those underlying conditions, the result is not a total surprise, but it's still breathtakingly awful and something that we are aggressively working to address.
Well, yeah, you outlined some plans to address some of those disparities yesterday. What are some of the key components of doing that?
Well, number one, we've got to make sure that all the providers that are doing testing don't skip receiving and then reporting out demographic information. We have to be able to, as real time as possible, be able to measure the impacts and disparities that this disease is creating across our geography. So that's issue one. Then we've got to use that information to make sure that we are doing neighborhood specific hyper local outreach. And we're doing that in a number of ways. We know that many of the people that are most at risk are also folks who suffer from the digital divide. So social media campaigns and TV aren't going to reach them. So we put out literally tens of thousands of pieces of material. We call them door hangers, where we've having people literally, you know, with mask and glove go door to door and hang the information on people's residences so they have that information. And we've translated it into multiple languages. The other thing that we're doing is identifying community leaders and stakeholders, one, who are credible in those communities and also have a real pulse for what's going on and the ability to network within those communities. And we're bringing them into a discussion around education, healthcare access, testing, and then using the feedback loop that's been generated to identify challenges on a neighborhood level basis, and then helping elevate that to the citywide emergency operations teams that are solving problems like housing, food, all sorts of other issues that we know are plaguing many of these communities.
Are you able to, or could you frankly have been able to get masks, protective equipment out into those communities earlier?
Yes. Well, we are definitely doing a lot of work around making sure that we're getting masks and other protective equipment out to these communities, but also learning that social distancing is a challenge when you live in a household that many times is small physically or has a lot of people living in it, a lot of intergenerational family settings. So we're tailoring our messaging. It's still, you know, stay home, stay safe, but we're still trying to tailor it to meet people where they actually are. So there's a lot of good work that's coming out of this. And our resolve is not only just to respond to this temporary but deadly pandemic, but to build a structure that we can use then for the long term to address these kind of healthcare, income inequality, and other disparities across our geography.
We've heard from governors and mayors in other states about reopening plans. What's realistic for Chicago?
Well, none of that's realistic until we see a number of different things happen. Number one, we've not got to just see bending the curve. We've got to see a dramatic drop in the number of cases, the number of deaths, the number of ICU beds being occupied by COVID-positive individuals or people under investigation with COVID. We've got to have a real strategy in the ability to execute mass testing, contact tracing. So there's a lot of pieces that need to fall into place. They're certainly on the horizon, and we're working to get towards them. But a lot of it, the first and foremost, has to do with making sure that we see a dramatic drop in the number of infections and deaths and hospitalizations. And we're just not there yet.
On a somewhat lighter note, you have been turned into memes, you know, Lori Lightfoot,
yes,
arms folded, telling people to stay home. Has playing along with that helped, do you think?
You know, I think it's helped in a couple of ways. It has really galvanized our city in pretty profound ways. And really, I'm getting copies of myself in memes from people all over the country. So that's been fun. But it also, we're burning in the message of why staying home to save lives is so important. You couldn't buy this kind of mass publicity. So we're both having fun with it. It's showing, I think, the innovative spirit of people here in Chicago, but it's reinforcing an incredibly important message in a very profound way. And people, I think, are embracing it. When we started tracking information about crowds, really starting in February, we were at about 59% of people were staying home on any given day. We've moved that needle now to 79% over the arc of the stay-at-home orders and other restrictions on congregate settings that we put into place. That's good news, and it coincides, almost one-to-one with what we're seeing in a slowing of the spread of this virus.
You also, went against your own guidelines and got a haircut. Isn't that a bit hypocritical when you should be leading by example?
Well, I needed a haircut, and so I took all the necessary precautions, and so I think we've moved on from this topic. Thanks very much for your time.
Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.